seated. Be seated. Well, Terry and Angie has gone somewhere. Well, they're going to the ball game. What about that, huh? You think they're getting excited right now? Georgia State. They went to Georgia yesterday. They went to the game yesterday. So anyway, you think there was some excitement in that facility? Yeah. Well, good. We're starting a new series this week, and it's going to be only a two-part series. And the title of it is, Have You Invited Anyone? And it's kind of self-explanatory, isn't it? That's what it's going to be about, is trying to stimulate us, get us excited about inviting people to church, inviting people to Christ is what we're really trying to do. So that's what it's going to be about. And what I'm talking about today is something I've titled, We Have Found. We're going to see here in just a few minutes that if we're going to be successful and efficient and effective with bringing people into the kingdom of God, we've got to be excited about what we found. What have you found in the kingdom? What have you found that you're excited about? And so we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to comment a little bit later about Angela's video and some of the things that she said. But right now what I want to do is read to you a rather lengthy section of Scripture from the book of St. John, chapter 1, verses 35 through 45. I'm going to read that to you, and if you have your Bibles, of course, follow along with me. They'll be on the screens as well. And I'm going to stop periodically through here and just make some thoughts and give us some thoughts about this section. So here we go. Let's read it. John chapter 1, verse 35, it says, The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples. Now, this next day would have been the day after Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist. This is the day, and this is the John that it's talking of. It says, When he saw Jesus passing by, he said, Look, the Lamb of God. When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. I want to point out that people are looking for the real thing today. They want somebody to point out what's really real. John the Baptist wasn't the real thing, right? He said that. He said, I'm not him. He said, there's one coming after me whose shoes I'm not worthy to unlatch. He says, I baptize you in water, but he's going to baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. The thing I'm here to do is point him out. Do you know that there are a lot of people looking for the real thing? And we need to be able to point the real thing out, don't you think? So he pointed them out. And then he said, then it goes on, and when the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, What do you want? And they said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Now, that doesn't seem to make sense. And the thing that I saw here is that people not only are looking for the real thing, but they have questions about the real thing. They want to be able to find the real thing, but they don't know what to ask. They don't know how to phrase the question. They don't know exactly how to project what they are inquisitive about. So I want you to see what Jesus did here concerning that thought. Where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. When people have questions and we're trying to reach them and bring them into the kingdom, they got questions. And what we have to do in our lives sometimes is just cut out a section of time. We've got to be able to separate some time for them so that they can finally figure out what questions they really have and what they really want to ask and what they really need answers concerning. So Jesus separated time, and I encourage you to do that. When you're really reaching for somebody and trying to bring them into the kingdom, then we need to separate a little time for them. So they spent the day with him. It was about the 10th hour. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did. In other words, Andrew couldn't wait to do this. Andrew was so excited about spending that day with Jesus and what he had heard and what he had learned. It says the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, We have found the Messiah. I need you to say that back to me. We have found. Say that. We have found. We have found. That's the title of my talk. We have found. We found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which when translated is Peter or means a rock or a stone. What he said to him is that son, your life is about to change in such a dimension, we might as well just go ahead and change your name. You're going to have such a life. See, when we come to Jesus, it's born again, right? Right? That's what should happen to us. We should be born again, born of water, born of spirit. We should become something new, a new creation, a new creature. And that's what he says is going to happen to Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found." Would you say that one more time to me? We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote. Now, I'm going to read more of this passage here in just a few minutes. But what I want us to see here is that five people had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus Christ. And they became so excited about what they had encountered, about what they had found, that they immediately went and told somebody else. And with their excitement and with their enthusiasm, they were able to bring these other people to Jesus. All of them but one was either pointed to Jesus or was invited to come to Jesus. What I want us to see is that 80% of the people that we come in contact with need you to invite them. Now, the other percent, the 20%, there may be another way for them to come in, like in this specific situation, Jesus specifically invited Philip. But most of the people that we come in contact with simply need to see you excited about what you have found, and if so, then you'll come into the kingdom. Now I think it's important that in most of our lives, most of the people that are here, most of us had found somebody found us that was excited about what they had found in church, or maybe in their student ministry, or maybe in their life group, or maybe in maybe going to a concert. But they were excited about it, and what they did is invite you to it, and from that situation you came into the kingdom of God. This is how it works. How many of us have some loved ones and some friends that we really want to see come into the kingdom of God, and we'd love for them to come in really, really soon? Right. Well, if you don't, then there's something wrong. You need to have people that you should always be praying about and should always be wanting to come into the kingdom. So here's what I want to do today. Okay? Today I want to give you an easy 2-step plan to be effective and efficient when you invite people to church, or invite people to Christ. Not just to church, but wherever that you invite them to come, where they can meet Jesus. An effective and efficient 2-step plan. Okay? So that's what we're going to do today. So first, though, before I do that, I want, and this is totally unrehearsed, I want some people to give me some information. How did it happen to you? I'm not talking about when you prayed the sinner's prayer. I'm talking about how was it when Jesus came alive to you, when it really made sense. I'm not talking about when you were a little child and you felt this pressure to pray the sinner's prayer. I'm talking about when it really happened. Who was involved when Jesus and things about the Spirit really began to make sense? Who will help me? I want about five people, or maybe not even that many, but just a few, and I only need a sentence or two. Who'll do that for me? Who'll give me a quick testimony? Okay? Yeah, well, right here.
Fill the pot.
Whoa. Give me some pot here. Go. Okay. No, we weren't on tape. See, I told you it was unrehearsed. There you go.
Okay. Fulfilled by the Bible, I was led by a child, Galen. Led me.
Galen, your daughter.
My daughter.
She invited you to church.
She made me go.
There you go. There you go.
She would get up in the morning and get dressed. Okay.
Give me your mic, dude. Okay. Who else? Who'll give me?
Well, Mom led me to Jesus when I was 10, but it really come to me, I guess, when I was in my early 30s. And I was with a group of people in Miami after Hurricane, and it was missionaries and a church and people singing and praising God, and my eyes was really open that night.
Okay. How did you get there? Did they invite you to come?
I drove a tractor and trailer down there with food supplies and stuff for this mission group that I was working with.
Somebody invited you.
Yes, right? Somebody invited me. Yeah.
Well, it really came to me when we started coming to your class and you were doing the revelation.
Okay, the realness of Jesus. But how did you get to where it started making sense to you?
Daryl made you come.
He invited you to come, right? He invited you to come. Okay. Anybody else? Need to one more. Ma'am?
It was my mother that was so fired for the praise and worship. He said, just come and see.
Come and see.
And out of curiosity, that's what I did.
So she invited you.
She invited you.
Okay. Shirley?
I like mine because it's really convoluted. But when I was about 20 and I had a couple of family members die, I had a neighbor. This was way up in New York. I had a neighbor who saw my distress and knew I was moving to Georgia, who contacted a friend in Georgia who was a total stranger to me, who called me and invited me to their home for a Bible study.
I think on all of these, now eventually, even though you said that she made you come, right, but you see, do you see how an invitation works in nearly all of these? Maybe one more. Anybody else got one more? Yes.
I had somebody that cared enough about me. At the time, I didn't think so, but he kept bugging me to go on this retreat. And I finally went away for this weekend, and getting away from the world and work and everything for 3 days, the Lord really revealed himself to me.
So you were invited to go to a retreat. You see that? Just about in every one of those. And most of the situations that we're going to have, it's simply an invitation. Simply an invitation made it possible to change a life. To change a life. To change a life. There's something so powerful in bringing people to what you found. And this is what I'm wanting to relay to us today. We've all got people that we care enough about. Like you said, this particular individual, you felt like he was pressuring you, but really he cared enough about you. I remember Herb Cole telling me one time, he said, I got mad at the body of Christ because they didn't seem like they cared about me. They were going to let me go to hell. And see, this is where what I want to talk about over the next 2 weeks, and just talk about inviting people and getting people to come into the kingdom of God. Now, we all say that we want our church to grow. We want LifeGate to do well. We want it to be influential. We want it to grow. We want our loved ones to come into the kingdom of God. Yet we have this bad image about something called evangelism, right? You know what I'm saying? We associate evangelism with pressure. We associate evangelism with maybe some horror stories that either happened to us or maybe that we heard about, you know, where people were made to pray the sinner's prayer or they cornered you. I had some. Did you have some horror stories in your life? A guy got me in his office one time and wanted to take me down the Roman road. I mean, he locked the door. He wasn't going to let me out of there. And, you know, that wasn't me. That didn't work for me. But there's a simple, I believe there's a simple, easy way, because Jesus said, I want you to go into all the world, like Angela said on the video. And he said, I want you to go into all the world. I want you to make disciples. I want you to get them baptized. And he also told us, once you receive the Holy Spirit upon you, that what you're going to become is a witness to me. Now, and I never saw Jesus pressuring anybody. Did you? He never locked anybody in a room to try to make them pray the sinner's prayer. He didn't do that. He just simply invited them into his kingdom, right? And they responded because he was excited about the kingdom. He talked about the kingdom all the time. And so when he would invite people into that kingdom, then they would come and they would respond to him. And so this is what I want to talk about today. I want us to see this, that the way that we're going to be effective is by inviting people into the kingdom of God about what we're excited about. So let me read you and get us to the first point. In John chapter 1, verses 38 and 39, it says this, turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, what do you want? They said, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Come, he replied, and you will see. So they went and saw where he was staying and spent that day with him. Andrew spent the day with Jesus, and immediately, the Bible says, he went and found his brother Simon and got him to come. Here's what I want us to see, because the very first point about being effective and in inviting people to the kingdom of God is, first of all, we have got to spend some personal time with him ourselves, right? We got to spend some time with him ourselves so that we can find what we get excited about. Maybe in your life, the excitement comes from elevation. You're a student, and you get excited about thinking about going to Elevation. I'm going to go to Elevation, and at Elevation, we're going to have fun. We're going to sing. We're going to do what we do down there. We're going to have some good teaching, and we're going to get together with my buddies. Well, if that's what you get excited about, then what you need to do is invite people to Elevation. You need to invite them to what you're excited towards, right? Maybe you like praise and worship, right? Maybe you like praise and worship, and so you're excited about praise and worship. Man, you ought to hear this praise team. Man, they're really good. You know, you need to come, and you're excited about that. And excitement has an enthusiasm has a way of getting on somebody. It's contagious, and so that excitement transcends and gets to the other person, and they come to see just what you're excited about. You know, maybe yours is life group. Maybe you like life group, and so what you want to do is you're excited about life group. It's a life group where you get to spend time with Jesus. It's a life group where you get to pray and minister and be prayed for and ministered unto. And so maybe it's life group where you spend time with Jesus. So then at life group, that's the thing that you're excited about, and that's the thing that you need to invite people to come, right? You see that? Because you're excited about it, and excitement is contagious. Maybe it's this wonderful preaching and teaching that you hear every week here by this gorgeous preacher, and you know, you're going to come, and you want to tell people you're excited because it's there at that time. I'm kidding, of course. But it's there at that moment when you really see Jesus become alive to you. And it's that moment where it's good and it's fun, and you get to spend time with Jesus in His Word. Well, if you're excited about that, then that's what you need to invite people to come. You know, I was thinking about this and how it related into my personal life and passions that I have about my personal life. I love to fish. It's a passion for me, and I'm good at it. I don't go fishing; I go catching. And so when I go, I'm extremely excited about getting to go. I'll get up real early. I'll stay all day. I'll walk around in a boat all day long. I mean, you know, it's exciting to me because I really do enjoy it. And I was thinking, now, how did that get on me like this? You know, what happened in my life that caused me to have such a passion to fish? Well, my uncles, my earliest remembrances were my uncles inviting me to go fishing with them. I had an uncle, Uncle Tommy, in Pensacola, Florida, and me and my sister would go down every summer, and we would spend sometimes all summer at my Uncle Tommy and Aunt Florence's house. And he would take me fishing once or twice a week. Every week we would go while I was there. We'd go out fishing. He had a boat. He took care of his boat. He took care of his equipment. We would go out. He was good at it. I got that. It got on me because he was so passionate about it and so good at it. So that kind of got on me. I had another uncle, Uncle Bob. He lived in Miami, and he had a place down at a homestead in the Keys, and he would take me down there, and we would go down there, and he also was kind of the same situation. He was passionate about it. He was good at it. He had a boat and all these things, and so their excitement got on me, and because of their invitation, now I'm passionate about that as well. It's that way about anything. Maybe your thing, maybe you like music. Maybe you enjoy music, and you don't mind paying 50, 75, 100 bucks to go to a concert. Because you like music. You'll sit there and listen to this loud music in a concert because somebody probably invited you at one time who loved music to go to the concert. See what I'm saying? And so that kind of got on you, and because of somebody's invitation, then you got passionate about it as well. They're doing the World Series right now. How much do you think those World Series tickets might cost? A bunch, right? Just a bunch. But yet people will go and they'll yell and they'll scream, come on, when their team scores. Have you ever been to a collegiate football game or to a pro football game? And, you know, maybe you weren't that hot on it, but you just went because somebody invited you. But all of a sudden people started shouting and hooping and hollering. What did you do? You started shouting and hooping and hollering. Why? Because there's a contagion, is that a word? Their excitement is contagious, and it gets on you, and you get into it. And it's that way about anything in life, anything that we do. When we become passionate about it, when we find something that really excites us, then that transcends and gets on somebody else, and they come to see just what you're excited about. And so the first thing that we see here, and when we're looking at the first point, is that we need to be excited about where we spend time with Jesus. And when we're excited about it and we go and transmit that excitement to somebody else, they're going to come, if no more, just to see, like a mad situation, just to see, what are they excited about? What's so hot about this? then they'll come. And when they get here, then they're going to have a life-changing experience, just like you had when it became real to you. So that's the first point. The very first point is to make sure that we spend time with Jesus and find, not just spend time with Him, but find the thing that excites us when we're with Him. Okay, let's look at the second point quickly. It's in St. John chapter 1, verses 41 and 42. The first thing Andrew did after he'd spent the day with Jesus was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found." Say that one more time to me. We have found. We have found the Messiah. That is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You're Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas," which when translated, is Peter. The second easy step in effective evangelism or effective invitation, inviting people to church or to wherever that it is that you get excited, is to invite them to what you found. Just simply invite them. Just first, spend time with Jesus. Find what excites you. Second step, go and invite them to the thing that you found that excites you. And it will always transcend. It will always get on them. Again, whether it's a small group or whether it's the church service itself or whether it's the praise and the worship or whatever that it is that excites you. It's that simple. See, my point is invite your family and your friends to what you have found, to where you have found Jesus. And when they get excited, when they see what you've gotten excited about, then they're going to come. It's going to come alive in them as well. Now, have you ever thought about this, that the Apostle Peter was evangelized? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, the Apostle Peter was evangelized by his brother, Andrew. I can't imagine the Bible without Peter in it, can you? I mean, they would be missing something if Peter wasn't in the Bible. But yet Peter was simply invited to come and see Jesus. And he just simply responded to an invitation. And he changed from Simon to Cephas. He had such a life-changing experience. Most of you are here simply because someone invited you. There are people out there now just waiting to be invited. The point is simply this. The two points is just simply this. Find what excites you when you spend time with Jesus. And then invite people to what excites you. It's that simple. I was 28 years old at the time, and I was very far from God. I had heard that a man that I was acquainted with, whose name was Billy Shira, had been saved. And I knew Billy. We had coached ball together. We'd spent time together. And I knew that he was one of these wild and crazy kind of guys. And I, like everybody else, didn't think Billy's salvation would stick. And so I was watching him. I just wanted to watch Billy to see how life went with him. And every time our paths would cross, I would keep an eye on Billy just to see what was going on. And he had a son that was a little older than my son, and I was coaching in one league and he was coaching in the other league at this particular time. And I remember one specific incident that we were at the ballpark, and it was Wednesday night, and I knew that church was Wednesday night, and and I was waiting to see what Billy did, because Billy loved ball. But what Billy did about 6:30 was round up his family. He had two boys on that ball team. About 6:30, he rounded his boys up, and they left the ballpark to go to church. I saw that Billy had found something real. Somebody had pointed him to the real thing, that Billy had found something that was real. And he had something I didn't have. He had some excitement. He had something that was life-changing. And I watched him. This was months after I had heard he had gotten saved. And so not long after that, I stopped by his place of employment. He was a real estate agent. And so I stopped by there and went into his office, and we just sat and talked. And so I just questioned him about his experience. And he began to tell me, and he told me with an excitement in his voice. He was telling me his personal experience of how he came to the Lord, and then he started getting excited and telling me about the church he had found and about the pastor he had found, and he was excited about that and how he had found what he was supposed to do in the kingdom of God. And he was teaching a Sunday school class, and I was just sitting there, and I knew as I was sitting there listening to Billy talk that when if I ever went to church, and I was very far from God, but if I ever did go to church, that what I was going to do, I would go to Billy's church because of his excitement. Well, I don't know if it was the next Sunday or maybe a week or so later, but I woke up in the bed one Sunday morning, and I waited for Judy to wake, and I waited, and she finally woke up, and she looked at me, and I said, "You want to go to church this morning?" Now, that wouldn't sound so strange today, but back then, that was a strange thing to come out of my mouth. And she looked at me with that, "Are you real?" look, and she said, "Well, yeah. Where do you want to go?" And I said, "I want to go to Billy's church." Why? Because Billy had been contagious with his excitement. He had found something that I wanted to find. And so we got up, we loaded our children up, and we went to Billy's church. And the rest is history. That was 30 years ago. I'm still excited about it today. And some of you cannot imagine your life without me in it. Just as I can't imagine the Bible without Peter in it. Hello? I can't imagine some of you not in my life. You see? Why? Because there's an excitement. There's something that's contagious about it. And when we find a place that we're excited about being with Jesus and we are able to go and communicate that excitement to other people, they will come. And it will work every time. It worked on you. It worked on Peter. It worked on me. It works on people. It works because there's an excitement about being excited and about what you found that will bring people into the kingdom of God. That's it. Just those two steps. That's what we find here. That's what we find consistently in our lives. That's what we find. We can do a whole lot of other things, of course. We can hand out flyers. We can send cards. We can do all these kinds of things. But I'm just asking you to invite people. That's all I've asked you to do with these cards. And if we'll do it, there's a drastic life-changing experience that happens. It happened to Peter. Peter's life changed. He changed from Simon to Cephas. My life changed. My life changed. And your life changed because somebody simply invited me. Somebody simply invited Peter. Now, I want to finish up and I want to read the rest of this passage that we were looking at. And it's in John chapter 1, verse 43 through 49. Let's read it and see how this all works out. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethesda. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We have found. We have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Nazareth? Can anything good come from Nazareth?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see." And Philip, when Jesus saw Nathanael approaching, he said to him, "Here is a true Israelite in whom there is nothing false." "How do you know me?" Nathanael asked. Jesus answered, "I saw you while you were under that fig tree. I saw what you were doing under that fig tree before Philip called you." Then Nathanael declared, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Do you see the similarity here? Even though Philip came a little different way, Philip wasn't necessarily invited. Philip came by a way of calling of Jesus specifically working in his life and calling him. But then what Nathanael did was the same thing that Philip did. His excitement about what he had found, he went and found Nathanael and did the same thing. "You got to come and see this guy. You got to come and hear this. You got to come and experience this. I'm excited about this. And if you'll come, it's going to touch your life." He said, and notice there that initially Nathanael wasn't all excited about going to see what Philip was excited about. He said, "Nazareth, can any LifeGate, Delbert Young, can anything good come out of LifeGate? Well, answer me. Come on, answer me. You know it can. Your life has changed because of life gain. Yes, something can. And then when they say that, I heard something this week. Somebody was inviting somebody to church, and they said, life gain. Life gain. They believe funny. Come and see. Just come and see. And when they get here, the same thing happens to them that'll happen right here to Nathaniel. And all of a sudden, Jesus starts speaking to them. Jesus starts ministering to them through the word, through the praise, through the worship, through the life groups, through the elevation, through whatever's going on here. And all of a sudden, Jesus starts speaking to them and their life changes. Nathaniel became an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ because somebody invited him to come and see Jesus, to come and see what he was excited about. Do you know this worked for Billy Graham? Do you know this worked for Billy Sunday? Do you know this worked for Charles Spurgeon? Somebody just simply invited them because they were excited about what they had found with Jesus. And so when you and I do this, it will work. It will work consistently. And something good can come out of LifeGate. Amen? Amen. So I need to ask you, what have you found and about what are you excited? Now, is LifeGate exciting to you? Do you feel that there is a point where you get to spend time with Jesus? What do you do in your life, life groups, elevation? If it's not exciting, then we need to work on it, right? How many believe that church should be exciting, right? Do you believe that? I believe church should be the funnest thing that we do all week long. I believe that. I believe it should be the best. And if it's not, then we need to fix that. But if it is to you, and I believe to most of you it is, then you need to share that excitement with people that you want to see come into the kingdom. We've given you the cards. I ask you to mail those things to people that and tell them about what you're excited and invite them to come. Angela's video, she was excited about her church. She's excited about LifeGate. She's excited about her preacher. She's excited about what she's doing. She's excited about what God's done in her life. And now she owns the salon and she's excited about that. And what she does is she finds what they're excited. What excites them. If they like music, then she'll get them a CD. If they like to go on the internet, then she'll hook them up with our website. She finds what they like to be excited about doing, and then she works from that dimension. But it works. It works. It works every time. And it may not work next week or the week after, but I promise you, like me, I wanted to go to Billy's church simply because Billy had found something exciting. Billy had found something that he wanted to go, and he wanted others to go and to share with him. So how many of you are going to invite people this week? You're going to send these cards. You're going to invite some people because next week I'm going to come back. I'm going to ask you again, who have you invited? How many is going to work on this week? You receive this? Would you stand with me? Let's give the Lord a shout and a hand clap. Amen. Amen. I was sharing with Judy, and I said, Judy, you know, I said, this just isn't a deep message, you know. And I like to get deep. I like you to go out of here having heard something that maybe you hadn't heard or hadn't heard it that way before. And this really, what we wouldn't call as deep. I said that to Judy, and she says, Delbert, she said, how much deeper does it get than inviting people into the kingdom of God? So I want you to think about that. How much deeper does it get? How much more can we do? I want you to do this week. I want you to get excited. Last week when I left the church service, I was kind of excited. I felt an anticipation, and I felt an excitement in my spirit, and I felt like the Lord was telling me, I want you to share on this topic the next couple of weeks. And that's why I did it. Let's bow our heads. Father, I ask you now.